It's June. What's happening in the natural world? Here are Boulder naturalists Steve Jones and Scott Sievers.
Well, we've come to the Skunk Canyon drainage, which is at the base of the foothills. So we've come here at dawn because that's when you can get singing of the local males here in early June.
There's so much to eat here. There's the wild plum and the choke cherry and so many nesting niches. So once we get up here a little ways, we'll hear a dozen birds singing from one place. So let's go up there.
Steve, the gray catbird's on top of that.
So let's just listen to the song for a minute. Most of that is coming from one bird. They're not singing jazz. They're singing classical music because each of those phrases is virtually identical every time they sing it. The catbird is singing the phrases in different order. But each short phrase, which is only a second or so long, is the same each time it sings it.
Oh, there it goes.
It just flew down into the shrubbery, and that's where it's going to forage. And it'll place its nest, what, just a few feet off the ground?
Yeah. Most of these birds build their nests in these dense shrubs. Here's the chat upslope from us about 30 yards. They are a bright yellow warbler-like bird. He was doing a little aerial flight.
This is a display flight. He was showing off himself so that other males can see him and know that he has this territory. And they're called chats because they sing a chatty song.
I see what might be his mate.
Oh, really?
He went down into the shrub near that honeysuckle bush, and then the mate is another 10 yards up the hill. Now she just flew.
She flew.
Yep, she just flew up into that skunk brush.
So they're in scattered shrubbery here on the hillside, and that's perfect nesting site for them. I hope we get some more sounds because they're really noisy and raucous, and I've led birding trips up here, and people think they're hearing five or six different birds singing, and it's all the chat. It's right in plain sight, about 20 meters up the hillside, right on top of a sumac bush, and then it just flew down. It's hard to describe its song. It was just going chat, 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 chat then, but it also whistled once.
I think the favorite thing about chat songs to me is the one where they do the like somebody whistling for their dog.
Yeah. And then there's a wolf whistle they give too. There it is down below, Scott, on the bottom of that three-lobed sumac bush. Oh, it is brilliant yellow. And it looks very much like a warbler called the common yellowthroat. And it used to be classified as a warbler, but it's much bigger than the warblers, and its behavior is totally different, and it's a mimic in its singing behavior, and it's been put in a category all by itself, hasn't it?
Just within the last 5 years, it's now in its own genus.
Yeah.
The other really cool thing about this bird is it has little white feathers that form as spectacles around its eyes.
It's interesting to me how birds in different genera with very different behaviors can evolve to have almost the same appearance. It's just a mystery to me. Oh, here's right in front of us. Well, you may have heard three or four distinct different. There's a whistle, sort of a screech, then a twitter. And unlike with a mockingbird, you can listen, you can hear different birds' songs inside the mockingbird song. With a chat, I can't. Can you, Scott?
No, not usually.
They pick up sounds around them, but I think they make them their own.
Yeah.
Steve Jones and Scott Sievers are friends and Boulder naturalists.